Hello and welcome to a brand new podcast in this NDA at 10 series. Today we're here to delve on matters around the financial services space, and joining me is a very, very interesting person, Dr. Duruvi Subbarao. He was a former governor at Reserve Bank of India, and he's also a visiting faculty at Yale University now. Dr. Subbarao is here to decode what it takes for the financial services space to get to the 5 trillion economy scale. Do we need more banks in place? Does this mean that there should be a little more private participation to get to that scale? And so on and so forth. Here's this interesting conversation. India is talking about touching the 5 trillion mark in terms of our GDP scale. Is our banking sector equipped enough to touch that magic number? What more should we really need to do there to get to that mark from a banking perspective?
Well, banks have to play a very important role in order to meet our aspiration of a 5 trillion economy. Most people think of that as more banking. But what's even more important than more banking is better and higher quality banking. Because if you look around the world, look at the development experience over the last 50 years, look at countries that have grown and developed, gone from low income to middle income and middle income to high income, one constant you will see is that the credit intensity of GDP goes up. That is to say that for every unit of GDP, the credit required is higher. Put it in concrete numbers, if you had to go from GDP of 4 trillion today to 5 trillion in a few years from now, that's 25% increase in GDP. What we will actually need is more than 25% increase in credit. That's credit intensity increasing. And much of the burden and responsibility of meeting this growing credit demand falls on banks. So I believe banks have to play a very important role in order to meet our aspiration of a 5 trillion economy.
If I can just ask, on there, we had the last wave of growth in the banking credit, as well as the entire GDP uplift happened from a lot of infrastructure spends. We had a lot of ports, rails, highways, roads coming in, and that was a big booster to the economy. A lot of parallel economies also grew along with this. That seems to be missing right now. That sort of a capex thrust seems to be missing right now. And banks are therefore recalibrating their strategies more to retail. Do you see this as a sustainable way of ballooning the GDP to the 5 trillion mark?
Well, first about today's growth, we have last quarter we clocked growth of 8.4%. This year we expect to go at 7.5 or 7.6%, which is remarkable, which will give us bragging rights as the fastest growing large economy in the world. That's all very good. But we also have to note that this growth is being driven almost entirely by public government investment into infrastructure. That is absolutely necessary. It will improve the productive capacity of the economy. It will improve the productivity of the economy. But this is simply unsustainable because right. The government cannot keep on spending.
Yes.
So for growth to be sustainable, we need private investment. I'd like you to throw your mind back to the previous India growth story during 2005 to 2008, or indeed from 2003 to 2008, over a five-year period, we clocked growth of 9%+. That was driven almost entirely by private investment. And investment to GDP ratio had gone up as high as 38%. So if you want to get to 5 trillion, and in fact get beyond 5 trillion, private investment is very necessary. And I believe that soon banks will have to divert their attention and look for opportunities in the private sector.
Yes. In other words, can I say that the shyness that they have right now towards private sector, that mentality you would say will have to change in the next 3 years or so to get there?
I wouldn't say shyness, but certainly, credit is a question of both demand and supply, right? I should also say that there's not been demand from the private sector.
Yes.
Because they were cleaning up their balance sheets. Simultaneously, banks were also cleaning up their balance sheets. Meanwhile, COVID hit and the aftermath of COVID, and there is still excess capacity in the economy as per Reserve Bank reports. So I believe private investors are also waiting for the election to be over, even though a lot of people believe that the election outcome is fairly predictable, but it's still an event.
Yes.
And I think private investors are waiting for election to be over, and I'm quite sanguine that private investment will pick up. As I said, because balance sheets have been cleaned up, because capacity utilization is reaching about 80 to 85% when private investment thinks of further investment, the elections will be over. So that's the demand side. And from the supply side, of course, banks have been more forthcoming, more, I wouldn't say adventurous, but certainly more innovative in financing private investment.
Yes, yes. What would, in your mind, be the challenges and opportunities that banks will be faced with in supporting the 25% plus growth that you had mentioned a while ago?
Well, I can think of many, many challenges and many opportunities, but let me focus on the important ones. By far, the biggest opportunity is digital technologies. Digital technologies have changed the way we do finance, the way we do banking in ways that we could not have imagined. You know, you walk any street in any town or city in India, QR codes are most ubiquitous. Even people who are barely literate are able to use WhatsApp Pay and Google Pay and Paytm. And digital technologies have also made it possible to design customer-specific loans. And then digital technologies have reduced the cost of credit from the time of onboarding customers, pricing, disbursing credit, monitoring, recovery, all of the costs have come down. Digital technologies have also made it possible for big banks to tie up with fintechs. And digital technologies are making it increasingly possible to appraise the creditworthiness of potential borrowers who do not have a formal footprint in the formal financial sector. So that's the magic of digital technologies, which banks have to exploit innovatively. The second opportunity, I believe, is big data and artificial intelligence. I've spoken about that, but big data and artificial intelligence will make it possible for banks to do innovative banking. Okay. And I believe on the challenges side, okay, again, let me mention just the important ones. A very important challenge going forward will be managing climate change for every actor in the economy, particularly for banks, because they'll have to be much more experienced. They have to gain expertise to assess the risks and opportunities that climate change will have on potential credit. The second is financial globalization, as we've learned over the last 25 years. We know that financial instability anywhere is financial instability everywhere. Just throw your mind back to last March. We're in April this year, but March 2023, we had the Silicon Valley Bank, rumble there. And that sent tremors across the world, including India. And the third challenge I can think of is cybersecurity, for obvious reasons that digital technologies have come in, cyber crime, cyber terrorism, cyber warfare, cyber viruses. All of these are risks and challenges that banks will have to meet.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. And for me, the larger takeaway is that the challenges that you've been talking about now is vastly different from challenges one would have said about 10 years back. And that's
Absolutely. Possibly
also a sign that we've really progressed well as a nation in the way we're doing business.
Well, yes, we've moved on as a nation. The world has moved on. Technologies
yes.
have moved on. So what we're seeing today, the change, transformation you talked about from 10 years ago to today is a function of many variables.
Absolutely. I'll come to one of the more popular questions that's thrown in the banking world. An argument that India needs more banks to get to the five trillion mark, and therefore we should have more banking licenses, etc. You did make a very interesting mention earlier. We don't need more. I mean, we need more credit rather than more banks. But if I were to ask you this question once again, how would you respond to it, sir?
Well, as I said, we certainly need more banks.
Okay.
Because credit demand will increase, and more banks means more competition, more specialization. So, and India is a vast country, so we certainly need more banks. But we need more banking as well, and better quality banking. Mm. You know, people always talk about whether financial sector should lead the real world or real sector must lead the financial world. But actually, if you look around development experience, you will find that the causation runs both ways. For example, if you throw your mind back to 1991 reforms, when we liberalized the economy, there were those liberalizing impulses and the growth impulses we realized could not be further accelerated unless we opened up the financial sector. So as we started, the Blitzkrieg reforms happened in 91, but starting mid-95, the biggest reforms that happened in India were in the financial sector.
Absolutely.
That is an illustration of growth demanding financial, more finance. But again, you go back to the previous India growth story before the GFC, 2003 to 2008. That growth story is attributed to many factors.
Mm.
Higher savings rate, more external stability, productivity of the economy. But one of the important factors that fueled that growth was, in fact, better and higher quality financial intermediation.
Yes.
So causation runs both ways.
Perfect. Perfect. And as a country, we don't have so many refinancing models. Of course, we're better off compared to what we were maybe 20, 25 years ago. We have three large institutions today to handle refinancing. But is that an arena where you would think we need to do a little more work?
I should think so. That's actually, something that's hard to disagree with, really. We need more financial infrastructure in terms of payment systems, stock exchanges, lots of other infrastructure that goes with banking and, in fact, the larger financial sector growth. Yeah, we need to focus on that. I'm sure that the regulators today are working on that. You know, and it's got to be an organic growth. It's not that we say, look, Japan has done this or Italy has done it and we will copy it. It's got to be what is required for our country.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much for taking your time out and joining in this edition of the podcast. With that, it was a wrap on this edition of NDA Tech Podcast. We'll come back to you soon with another interesting topic. Till then, it's your host, Hamsini Karthik, signing off. Take care.